To call a man transparent is to attack his soul, his very being. It can be received as the ultimate insult. Unless, that is, the man in question is actually, literally see-through. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Shanklin and his olive-skin friend Dave.
Thing is, people like to know that we're down to earth. So after the interview and we tell them where we are, they'll realise that we're just normal people like them. So do the intro.
Hello, everybody out there. We are coming to you from Ireland. There's more to Ireland than this.
We are. The reason we're real people, firstly, who are you?
My name is Tom Shanklin.
I'm David Flatman.
Good to meet you all.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Can you try and do this like we normally do it to give people a sense of familiarity?
Well, we've done it for like 60-odd episodes now. I quite like change. I'm not stuck in my ways like you. I don't have to do a tip run every Sunday. Go to the same coffee shop, have the same food.
Yeah. Where am I going to go on honeymoon? You go to Acapulco. It'll be fine. What film's that from? Dirty Dancing. Correct.
Is it?
Nobody puts my Tommy in a corner. We're in a hotel in Dublin. It's Sunday night. Now, I'm going to tell you this.
Tell us, please.
This is how people know we're real. Don't look anywhere except at me. I do not know the name of this hotel. Do you? Don't look for any stationery. I don't know what it's called. Do you know what it's called?
I don't know if I could pronounce it. R-U-I.
Rui.
Hotel. Dublin.
Is it?
So, yeah, pretty sure. Hang on. Have a look. See, it's the
Gresham. It's called the Gresham, it says on there.
The R-I-U Plaza.
Republic of Ireland something, your plaza, the Gresham Hotel.
Yep, the Gresham, Dublin.
The Gresham. We haven't got a clue. This is...
The John Gresham from CSI. Gresham.
I
know it's Gresham.
It goes to show how grounded we are that we're in a hotel and we don't even know what city we're in.
Yeah, we've just arrived here. You've come straight from the Ricoh Stadium. I've come from Cardiff. And luckily, our planes landed at the same time.
What were you doing? Some media stuff?
Yeah, loads, mate. Loads. I was covering the Wasps Exeter game. For people of Penarth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would have started this pod early. It doesn't make any difference to you at home, but wherever you are. But we couldn't because we were due to meet with our BBC buddies at the car rental spot, and I went there and sat there for 20, 25 minutes. Who knew
Dublin Airport had two terminals?
I know.
It's crazy.
How many people are there here?
But,
so we sat apart for a while, didn't we? But now we've checked into our hotel. I'm in Shanks' room. Haven't been to my room yet.
I've got a family room as well, so even better.
I'll just stay in here with you.
No.
Why?
Well, there's a double bed and a single bed.
I'll go in the single, I don't care.
No,
be like touring.
You can't sleep on your front, can you? You sleep on your back. Yeah, so when you sleep on your back, that's when you start snoring.
The noise happens.
Yeah.
So it'd be like old times. Be like touring again.
Yeah.
It'll be like Beer Itz in 2002.
Yeah, but I've grown out of that now, mate. I'm not into touring at all. I'm coming to do a job.
Beer Itz in 02 was good. Was it 02? No, we went to Japan in 2002. No, we didn't. Yes, we did.
We went to Beer Itz 99, 2000.
Then we went there with Abdel Benazi. When was that? With Abdullah. When did...
Probably 2001.
It was when he joined us, wasn't it?
Mm.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
And we went to his house, do you remember? Went to Abdel's house. So those of you at home, you'll know Abdel Benazi, who played 78 times for France, French-Moroccan.
78 times?
78 times in the back row. That was in the age
row.
Of brutal back rows, second row, back row. I mean, what a player.
Unbelievable.
What a specimen.
I love the fact that Saracens made him captain as well.
I know.
And he couldn't speak any English.
A word of it.
No.
Couldn't speak a word of it. And the thing is, though, he couldn't speak a word of it. And then one day, you turn on the TV on the day after one of our games, and he's a pundit on like the telly of a Sky or something. And you're like, he's talking. He's like, you know, there are two more wins and a top of the table. I was like, what? Where'd you get that from?
Just couldn't be bothered, could he?
No, where'd you get that
Ignorant.
From?
Ignorant.
And one day...
He always had a little bit of Tippex in his hair as well, didn't he?
Yeah. And one day... When One of these days, we're going to try and get Chris Chesney. We've mentioned a few times on this pod. We're going to try and get him on because he's been sending us threatening messages.
He is up for it. Although, when I saw him the other day, he did look a little bit Game of Thrones.
He does look Game of Thrones, yeah. But he's like a mini mountain. He's like,
and he had a little necklace around him as well. I didn't want to say it just in case it was something really sentimental.
Shanks, he doesn't have a heart. He doesn't do sentimental. This is the guy, okay, that he said to me once.
Well,
I said,
what if his daughters might have given it to him?
I tell you, he loves his daughters, but I don't know what he loves them with because he hasn't got a heart. We'll talk about this when he comes on.
Okay.
I remember saying to him once, what did you do on Tuesday or whatever it was? And he was like, oh, well, I went to cinema, didn't I? And I knew he was lying. He was like, he'd been out for dinner or something and he was lying. I was like, Chez, how can you look at one of your best mates and lie to my face? And he's like, firstly, you ain't one of my best mates. Secondly, I lie to my own mother, mate. I ain't got any problem lying to you. So, yeah, okay. There's no getting away from that. But I remember, we'll talk more about Chez's relationship with Abdullah. This probably might offend someone calling Abdullah, but we all called him Abdullah when he was there. Like,
I didn't.
Great fella.
I didn't.
No, I didn't. They all did. But we loved him and he loved us, I think. But we'll talk about his relationship with Abdullah because it was just completely inappropriate. But very, very funny at the time for everyone except you and me.
Have you had the flu?
No, not really.
I'm feeling so much better than last week.
You were rough last week.
Yeah, and just couldn't think of words in my head. Just sat there nodding at you.
Can you normally think of words?
Stuff, yeah. Stuff sometimes comes out. But you're right though, are you?
I'm all right. So you're
I bloody hope you get it.
No, I'm all right. I was at Coventry today, so I went to Birmingham, flew from Birmingham Airport separately, of course.
Did you see Di?
Saw Di. But my point is, I had a immune booster juice at the airport, so I'm all right now for another year.
Lucozade.
Yes.
Why is it you only have Lucozade when you're ill?
Yeah, I actually don't. I love Lucozade when I'm not ill.
Do you?
Petrol station, orange Lucozade.
But word on the street is you've lost 11 kilos.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's true, yeah.
Wow.
I know. I told you, love sick. Told you, didn't I? I've honestly lost 11. I'm still 20 stone.
And it was pancake. And it was pancake day last week.
I know. Didn't have one pancake. Told you, boy. I got a Waggy's take delivery the other night. Couldn't eat it.
Well, just looking at it.
I shoot.
What'd you order from Waggy's?
Pad Thai, chicken and prawn, like the chicken pieces, tempura prawns.
I like the ebi katsu.
I like the cauliflower, the bang bang cauliflower.
There's also a really nice. There's a nice shredded duck option there. It comes with a fried egg on top.
Oh yeah,
that's really nice.
Is it?
But I often have the, I don't know, what is it, steak teriyaki?
Yeah.
Or salmon.
I like chicken teriyaki as well.
I also like the curry, the katsu chicken curry. And they used to have a grilled option, but now it's just one option of chicken now.
So,
breadcrumbed.
We'll talk about this in a bit, I expect. But you know Mark Bakewell, who has now just become forwards coach at Leicester Tigers?
Did he create the tart?
The what?
The tart.
The tart?
The tart.
Tart?
Yeah. No.
So, Australian forwards coach, New Zealand born Australian forwards coach. He was our forwards coach at Bath, absolutely brilliant, brilliant coach, and got let down by the club and relieved of his duties when he shouldn't have been because he was amazing and we loved him. And it's a long story, but the club massively, massively cocked that up and everyone knows it. And been at Bristol, done a good job there, and Leicester have got him on a long deal because he's the man. But he is a straight shooter. Right, so I remember talking about, he was reading a book. So what book's that, mate? Mate, autobiographies, mate. I only read autobiographies, don't read anything else, mate. And like, books about facts, I need to learn, mate. He loves learning, right?
Yeah.
So he goes, what are you reading,
relate
mate?
To that.
And I was like, well, I'm reading this at the moment. It's a
Agatha Christie novel.
Yeah, it's like a murder mystery thing. Is it, well, it's good? Yeah. But when did it happen? I was like, it's fiction. You read fiction, mate? Why'd you read fiction? I was like, well, I like it, you know. Like to exercise my imagination. Don't you read fiction? No, mate. It's all bullshit. It's all made up, mate. It's literally what it is, mate. It's just made up. And I love that. I love that about him. But he knows what he likes and he likes what he knows.
Yeah.
So his wife and kids went back to Australia for a month and 34 nights on his own, he went to Wagamama's and had chicken katsu curry 31 times in 34 nights. And the other nights, One night he didn't eat because he trained so much that he trained until he felt sick. He trains twice a day, every day. He's fit. He's unbelievably fit and strong and like amazing, Nick. And the other two nights, one night he had dinner with me, one night with Dave Barnes. 31 out of 34 chicken katsu curries. I'll never forget that.
Do you want another fact? The world spent $1,735 billion on war in 2012. It would take $135 billion to eradicate global poverty. Digest that.
Excuse the pun. You horrible bastard. Yeah, it's grim. It's completely grim. But then it's one of those things that I'm sure lots of people who are listening to this and you and I give money to charity, but it's like, how much of the money we've got do we actually need?
Yeah.
You know, are we actually penniless at the end of each month? And if you are, fine. But could you not move into a smaller house, sell your car, get the bus to work and give the rest to charity? I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying we could all do more. It's not. It's easy to blame Big Pharma and blame Donald Trump. And it's like, well, actually, we could all do a bit more.
Yeah, there's some other issues I've got this week as well. Now, I sold an old phone. Okay, I sold an iPhone 7 Plus. This isn't a joke, by the way.
Oh.
I need some advice from from you listeners out there. Maybe you. You might know a little thing about it. So I sold a phone, right? And I sold it.
Did you wipe everything off it?
Yeah. And on the 21st of January this year, I sent it special delivery to the address. And I emailed, this is on eBay, I sold it. And I emailed the person, I think it was a girl, or maybe a guy, that bought it. I said, I've sent it next day delivery. It'll be with you tomorrow. Great, thank you. So now what are we, the 18th of Feb? I've got an email from him to say, when are you sending the phone? It's still not arrived. And I said, I sent it, special delivery. And now it's sort of nearly 4 weeks ago. Now you're emailing. I no longer have the receipt from Royal Mail without, so I don't have the tracking number. And now contacted me saying, I will need a tracking number to be able to trace the phone. Can you send it to me, please? So I think
you're getting done over.
What's my advice?
There must be a policy on this, but I'm generally super like.
Now you know me, I wouldn't lie about something like that. No, I sent the phone.
Yeah, it's like I would say, do the right thing. 99 times out of 100, in fact 100 times out of 100, but I think you're being done over here. So you go straight to eBay account, appeals, whatever it is, and say, this has happened. I'm telling you, I'm not lying.
There'd be a credit card receipt of Royal Mail, but that could be anything though, couldn't it?
Of course it could, but it's like, I'm out. I've done my bit, I'm out. And if they haven't got it, that is a bloody shame, but you've done your bit. And
it's nearly 4 weeks.
And you told them you sent it.
Yeah,
you on our kid.
I know, because like you're not going to keep a receipt for that long, are you? Really,
doing a job on you.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. God, third world issues. I have, eh?
Yeah. This is. How do we get there?
Don't know. But anyway, what have you been up to in the week?
Well, Tom, it's a good question actually, and it's at this point where I fill a bit of time.
Well, do you want me to tell you what I've been up to?
Yes, please. Because I've forgotten what I've been up to.
Pancake Day Tuesday. I had a pancake. Sue me. I did a Q&A, okay, in Old Penarthians Rugby Club on Thursday night. There's a guy, Stu Barter. His wife passed away recently with cancer, so we did a bit of a fundraiser. So I did a bit of a Q&A, told a few stories for 20 minutes, did a bit of Q&A after we had a chili. So we raised a bit of money for Valindra. Cancer hospice. So
I've done a couple of things with Valindra. Yeah, really
it's,
nice.
It's brilliant. It's a great charity.
It's a proper feel good charity. It is. Like a lot of them, there are loads of those around, but it is pretty fab.
My sister's 40th on Saturday. Yesterday. Yep. In El Poeto's custom house down Penarth Marina, lovely. Tanny Martinez looks after us there.
Met your sister at our flat in London.
You did?
And then a while later, I said, how's your sister getting on? And she was like, yeah, she asked about you. Asked if you were still desperate.
Oh, yeah, that's
remember
right.
Remember that? I think I fancied her, so I was trying to like be funny or something.
It was when she arrived, then he went back into your room to change to put something.
Oh, shut up! That's bollocks. I didn't do that.
Comes out freshly shaved, Patrick Cox. Flare jeans.
Covered in Kuros.
Flare jeans show. And a black shirt tucked in with brown belt. Harley Davidson buckle. Hair gel down.
Just a cowboy hat and a bottle of Jack Daniels. Yeah. Hey, what's up? What's cooking?
Yeah. What are you wearing?
Let's put some music on. Now.
So, yeah. What are you wearing? Ralph Lauren polo.
Who's asking? Me. Okay.
Yeah. And then we're out here on a Sunday. So.
Okay. Well done. Good week.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, on Tuesday, I had this funny thing where it was a real laugh. There were two people.
It better be funny now.
It's not that funny. It is actually. Now and again, you get a message saying, "So and so, can you sign this? If I send you something, can you sign it or whatever?" Like, I got this message. I'm not very good on Instagram, but I got a message on Instagram and one on Twitter.
Whatever.
Like private message request thing, and it's like, one of them is, I'm a big Bath and podcast fan and stuff like that. Is there any chance you and Shanks could pop into my office in Bath this week and sign something for me that I'm going to get framed for my dad? So I was like, well, Shanks isn't around because I feel bad now because they're probably listening to this, but I didn't want to ring you and say, can you drive to Bath at 9 o'clock on...
Would have done.
Wednesday, Tuesday morning.
You know what I'm bloody like. You know?
Anyway, so I said, look, Shanks isn't around.
The pleaser.
I'm more than happy to do it, yeah.
The Ebenezer.
So, and another girl sent me a message saying, my boyfriend's a fan, any chance you could nip in and sign this thing? My friend works in Bath, he'll pop into her office. So I was like, yeah, you know what? It's one of those things where you're like, you sound like a saint, but it's not. I live in Bath anyway. It's 5 minutes from my house. So like 9 a.m, I was before on the way to the gym as per. I was like, I'll just, no problem. I'll pop in there and do that. So I went to the first one and this really, really lovely lady came and met me and I signed a couple of things and wrote a little card and whatever. And that was really nice. And she's like, what are you up to now? And I realised as I said it, I was like a right knob. I was like, I'm going to do another signing somewhere else. I was like, I'm a knob. But I arranged it for the same morning. So I went to this... Yeah, I went to this
W.H. Smith, was it?
Yeah, the new Haskell. I was in Waterstones. So I went into this shop and went out the back. And they were like, do you want to come upstairs? And I said, do you want to just bring the stuff down here? Because I'm illegally parked out the front. I parked it right on double yellows outside both of these places.
So you.
So arrogant. So I was like, but John Terry. So I was like... She goes, well, come upstairs if you want. I was like, oh, honestly, if I just sign it and do whatever you want, no problem, but I'm going to nip off if that's all right. And she's like, oh, come upstairs just for a minute. So I went upstairs, behind this shop in Bath, and then up, it's like a sort of book or bric-a-brac shop. It was a weird little shop.
Were they trying to drug you or something?
And I was like, this is a bit strange, but I'm bigger than her, so I'll be all right. I walk upstairs, and every member of staff, including some of their family, have basically done a coffee and biscuit morning reception for me.
Ah, like a book club.
They're all in suits. I'm in my gym kit. I've been walking the dogs, got mud all up my legs. Off to the...
So what do they want you for? Just to sign some stuff?
Sign some stuff, but I walked in and they were like, hey! What? And like, round of applause. It was honestly, mate.
Cut the ribbon.
Honestly.
What did you have to sign?
I thought of you in there. I was like, you would love it if you could see this. It was, I signed two shirts and a ball up there. And it was like, and some of them are listening to this and they're lovely, lovely people. But it took me completely by surprise. And
You thought you were just whizzing in to sign something quickly. I look like a
tramp with plume.
Like someone had just cut and pasted like a photo off the internet onto Word and printed it off.
It was, they were like, so you want a biscuit? I was like, yeah, I love a biscuit. That'd be nice. But they're like, so you don't mind us all getting together to say thanks to you? And I was like, I said, this is one of the most awkward moments of my life. Fortunately, I don't really do awkward, so we're all right. Well, anyway.
Go on.
Went down to Devon for 2 days as well.
That's right. Love holidays.
Meant to be
you?
7, then 6, then 5, then 4, then 3, then 2, because of work. That was that. And then had a Channel 5 thing to do in London on Friday. Like a advert thing, so train up from Totnes.
Can you talk about it?
No, I can't talk about it.
Why didn't they want me? You know I do all the Anglo-Welsh now. I'm like the... Anglo-Welsh correspondent.
It was Prem Rugby. It was a Channel 5 and Prem Rugby advert.
All right. Yeah.
So long story. Long and short of it is you weren't involved. But yeah, anyway, Coventry today and what was a pretty average game. It was super brutal, that
save
game.
It.
We'll talk about the rugger in a minute. But
save it.
It's been a reasonably chilled week, Tommy.
Did you know if you're 6 feet 2 inches tall, then you're taller than 94% of the world? I'm 6 foot two.
I'm 6 foot and half an inch.
Just another.
What's
bit
my
of,
percentage?
I'm guessing 60.
I'm under 20 stone for the first time in probably 2 years, 3 years.
If I can really be bothered now or later, I will put a round of applause in.
Yeah.
Only if I can be bothered.
Yeah.
Because I've got to cut it. I've done
it by accident anyway. It'll all go back. I'm not even asked.
That's good though, mate. Well done.
I feel amazing. Can you see a difference in me?
You look thinner in the face, definitely.
Do I?
Yeah.
Do I look thin though?
You do look like a little. You do remind me of what's his name from Gamora, Chiro.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's sort of got a never-ending head,
like 44 head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
like a dolphin, like a brontosaurus.
You are. To be fair, right? You're very good at recommending books. Some of your books, not the murder mystery ones, and TV series. I've had a couple from you, and I've really enjoyed them. Get into Gomorrah.
Gomorrah's amazing. I'm reading a book at the moment, and I'm 50 pages in, and I absolutely love it, but I'm not going to tell you about it till it's finished, in case I don't love it.
Is it fiction?
It's fiction, yeah.
Oh, you love fiction, mate.
It's absolutely brilliant. I love every word of it so far.
The only fiction I like is Harry Potter.
I can't wait to finish this pod, so I can go to bed and read that for half an hour.
Yeah, Harry Potter's the only fiction I like, but fans of Harry Potter tend to be more politically tolerant and politically active, open to diversity. Just another fact.
But I'll tell you about this book once I've finished it. But so far, it might be, for personal reasons, because I like the words in it.
Authoritarian.
It might be one of the most authoritarian or laughatorian books I've ever read.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have a look at that.
Absolutely love it. Me first. Not
yeah,
you,
of
me
course.
First.
Just me first. Yeah, we're not talking any Six Nations, obviously, during this podcast, because we save that for the ITV Six Nations podcast that we do. This is purely on a bit of Pro 14, but mostly the Viva Prem.
Was it Michelle the other day that said, I listened to the beginning of the pod, I thought it was really good, and once I got to the rugby bit, I turned off, but it was, you know, I like the rest of it.
She's normally the other way round.
Do you think she thinks we ramble too much. She told us off on our pod the other week for rambling for too long.
Let's start with our bet of the week that you put on. Now it was Newcastle,
man,
Bath. I said Newcastle. I thought Newcastle when you said Bath because you're biased.
Yeah.
What's the matter with Bath, mate? They seem pretty good at home, but
they're what you call an inconsistent team, Tom.
Away from home.
The main problem for Bath on Friday night was that Newcastle
attitude.
Were really good. Newcastle are really good.
Yeah, I know Newcastle are really good, but some of the tackling was woeful.
We can't keep writing Newcastle off. But that, like, look at...
No, I agree with that point. Like, Newcastle are not a bottom of the league team anymore.
No, you look at Floody's try through the middle of Stook and Tapuai, and you can't be scoring tries like that at this level.
Tapuai has to do better. He drifts too early.
And he's a really good tackler and defender.
Don't say words if you can't say them.
Tackler and defender. He's really good, but that was a cock up, but it's also I was thinking a couple of great gauges, great ways to gauge a team's, you know, emotional state is kick chase is a good one. Line out defence near your line's a good one, because there's, when they throw to the front, there's very little technique involved.
So what you're saying with kick chase is that you can see their attitude by how fast they're willing to
run off the line.
Well,
they're probably have to run all that way and do nothing. How committed are they to that? That's a good gauge.
Aggressive defences as well.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But the line out defence, so when you're 5 yards out from your own line and they throw to the front, straight up at the front like Newcastle did, that is the easiest ball to defend, easiest ball to defend in the world, because all eight of you just smash it towards the touchline and they're in a load of trouble and they just bounce through there. Like, that was way too easy.
It's discipline a little bit with Bath as well. They gave loads of penalties away in that first half. And then you look at the scoreboard and they're 21-0 down. Which is quite a long way to come back, isn't it? 21 points. it's up there with skill of the week. I'm not sure it's going to be my skill of the week. I've just added this in now, like this skill of the week.
I've just
thing.
Done it on the telly, but I think I know what you're going to say. The Cooper Vuna try.
Yeah, Wilson round the back.
Yeah.
Nice it wasn't. It wasn't my skill of the week. Was it yours?
No, the finish was my skill of the week.
Okay. What, by Vuna?
Cooper Vuna.
See, I thought Gonovez was better.
His try. Where he rips through the two defenders?
He rips through three, really. Freddie Burns slips off him. His ball over the top. Freddie Burns slips off him. And then Fodawalihi missed him. And then Garvey goes high.
I tell you, Nicky Gonovez.
Great try. You can't be scoring tries that easy. Like the Flood one, well taken by Toby Flood, but just poor defence. That one as well. He scores a good try, but what I'm saying is that it was worse defence than it was great attack for me.
Yeah, but having watched that game, I really thought, I was really interested by Toby Flood's performance, because if you watch that game, you'd give, I don't know, Gonover, or you'd give Matavesi, or you'd give Kyle Cooper at hooker man of the match, and you wouldn't be wrong. But Toby Flood, I've said this to you a couple of times already, probably on this pod, people forget he's got 60 caps and that he got 60 caps for a reason, right? He's a proper player. And what you found is, so when Wasps, for example, lost Danny Cipriani, we'll talk about that in a minute, they're still feeding ball to their wingers, to their dangerous players, but they're feeding them ball when they've got no space, because they haven't engineered that space and they haven't sort of held players in the middle. Whereas Toby Flood, continually nibbling, moving, biting at the line and getting the ball away. He wasn't a fly half at the weekend that you can just wait for the pass to come in from Mickey Young and go. You can't. You have to watch him a bit. And
yeah.
You still should be able to cope with that. But what it means is, if he's able to hold you and he's able to utilise Josh Matavesi, who is a unit and played really well, if he's able to be a threat himself, just a little bit, just enough to put you, just to stop you drifting straight away, use Matavesi, then every time Sinotti and Gonova get the ball, or more regularly, they're going to be in space and they look twice as dangerous because of Toby Flood.
He takes it really flat as well.
He's brave.
Probably flatter than most people I've seen. And because he's so tall and rangy, that's another thing you forget, how tall he is.
Yeah.
He gets his arms through the tackle, and because he's tall, he also weighs a little bit as well. You know, you're not talking 12, 13 stone, you're talking sort of probably
14, 15. You've got to stop him. Stone.
Yeah, you've got to stop him. But when you're tall like that, you get your arms through a tackle, you're able to offload, and he always checks the first two defenders. You're right, it just creates more room outside. Pretty disappointing from Bath, but
I thought Bath were really disappointing,
but Newcastle, they're up there with
they're proper
the top teams.
They're a proper team. They could beat anyone up there.
I really enjoyed Worcester Gloucester. I thought it was a really good game.
Yeah.
The weekend.
Really good game. Worcester, another one of those teams. Nightmare for London Irish, but Worcester, another one of those teams that when they're playing well and everyone's playing, or most of their star players are playing, they're a proper team.
Worcester's back three are so dangerous as well. With Bream. Yeah.
Bryce Heem. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so good.
Well, I said Bream.
You said Bream. That's a fish.
Bryce Heem. Yeah, that's why I call him that.
Yeah, just slipped through, didn't he? Bream. Slipped through the net.
Yeah. It was good. My skill of the week, though, was Mills' pass to Josh Adams.
Remind me, gone from my head. I watched it today.
Gloucester have lost Trinder to a yellow card. They get a scrum 5 metres out down in Gloucester's half. And it just comes out the back of the scrum. Mills gets it. First thing he does is just run forward a couple of paces just to hold the defence, because when you start going sideways, the whole defence goes sideways. Mm. And then throws a massive over-the-top pass.
Yes.
To Josh Adams for a try. It was just a perfect pass. A real long one. And he swore there.
Yeah.
A real long one. And for me, that was
your skill
my
of the week.
Skill of the week. The space was there.
He's a lovely player. And actually, Johnny R came back in at 9. And said this on the telly. We talk about Hugard all the time. Hugard. With good reason, because he's a worldie. But Johnny R came in. He's been out for 4 months.
Scores
a try. But he was really good. Really sharp.
Lovely little switch to Chilcott as well. For his try, after
Chilcott,
yeah,
after, not Gareth Chilcott,
yeah, you know what I said.
I called him Chilcott. Tell me, just so you know, and so you know at home, doing the highlight show today with Durders.
Yeah,
I called him Chilcott twice, and we had to stop and start again twice.
Yeah, but we're not as professional as that. We just say it.
No.
But Gloss had a chance. They'd line out, didn't they? About 74 minutes in on Worcester's line.
Yeah, mess didn't it convert. Up. They actually had three goes near the line and didn't get over. No, I mean, not a brilliant result for Gloucester, but I think they were undone by, obviously, the better team on the day, but by a really good team. And I think that actually, as the season goes on, I think a lot of sides are going to get done over there. I
wonder if Matt Scott will feature for Scotland now. Well, not just because his surname's Scott, but because Scotland looked better with Hugh Jones at 13, 100%. And Hugh Jones has worked in the centre a lot with Dunbar. Now, Dunbar's injured, and Dunbar's a bit like Matt Scott, full of power, full of strength. Sometimes you need a player in that team that will just do all the hard yards.
You?
I scored 20 tries for Wales, mate. That's not hard yards. That's X Factor.
Yeah, 19 of those against Japan.
No.
There were a few, were there?
Japan and Romania.
Yeah. How many did you score against Japan and Romania combined?
Oh, stop it. too many, baby.
Too many, baby. So
I reckon we might see Matt Scott potentially feature.
Can he be a trucker?
Yes. He's very strong. Yeah, he's powerful. Yeah. And he's got a bit of pace as well. He's played for
Scotland a few times. Hang on, we'll pause that because that's our pizzas arriving. Gluten-free. Salad. Nice, wasn't it? That little break we had there for a little weird. What did you have? Well, I know what you had. Tell them what you had.
I had a margarita pizza. I tried to order some sandwiches because that was an option, a selection of sandwiches. And the guy said, "What ones do you want?" And it sort of threw me. And he said, the room service guy said, "You should have a pizza, sir." So he sort of persuaded me to have one. It was all right.
Darren Brown'd you. That is the.
I'm a quick eater. You know, you ask the boys. I'm a quick eater. You ask Bubs.
You're quick.
Yeah.
I've just done quicker than you, boy.
Yeah, I know.
But I haven't been eating much this last... Genuinely, I mean, we talk about this a lot. I haven't been eating much. That is one of the biggest meals I've had since January the 15th when Lawrence took us to York and got us drunk and on Malbec and ate Chateaubriand.
You went home early, wasn't it? Walked across the car park to your room. All right, so good win by Worcester.
I'm lying on the bed now, guys. Shanks is sitting formally. I'm lying on the bed.
It's Leicester,
nice. It's a nice environment.
Leicester 33, Harlequins 18. A lot of those points scored right in the last sort of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Didn't really reflect the true game. But, you know, Quins were hammered the week before, weren't they, against Wasps?
Yeah, 14 men of Wasps. After Kyle Eastman got redded.
So, normally you see a team back up the week's performance with... A very decent one and a reaction, more often than not a win, but didn't really. I mean, they started well, Quins.
I think they showed a lot more ticker,
but it was still against a fairly weak Leicester team as well.
I agree, but I tell you who was just magnificent in defence was Jamie Roberts. Honestly, just repeatedly massive hits on the line. He was outstanding, like absolutely. Brave as you like and hard as you like. He should be because he's a massive bloke, but a lot of massive blokes aren't.
No, but I know what you mean because you see it. I see it more so, not so much in defence, but in attack because he always offers himself. Now, sometimes it's not on at all. Yeah. He still wants to run He still wants to run that line off nine. But he just does it at the same pace, the same power.
And he got smoked on that line at the weekend.
He got smoked a couple of times, but he still gets up and he still offers himself. And he must know, you know, a lot of the time he's not going to break through because there's just no holes there. Yeah, he runs them. I think it's probably more off the cuff. You know, he just wants to try and hit that angle for the slow defenders getting up or the guards and sort of the eight defenders looking in at the ruck.
Yeah.
But fair play to him. And his body is a mess because of all the damage he's done on the field.
He was just fantastic. But... couple of times you just see Quins' defence. It was a much better effort, I thought, from Quins. But a couple of times their defence, I think it was Joe Marchant, goes up for an intercept that he's nowhere near and leaves a massive hole for Manu. Manu just not at it at all yet. But I don't think that matters.
I was going to say, didn't look like the Manu that we know.
No, but I think let's just give him a season to actually play, you know.
I mean, he's come back from injury a lot and got injured again. But
so let's just wait. But also,
you know, when you're used to seeing like a hungry Manu.
Yeah.
He wasn't really. And that's probably more so him just trying to get through a game to build his confidence back up.
Yeah, and I saw a couple of really good impacts from him, like physical impacts, and then I saw a couple that looked quite tentative and soft. And
well, Morris just gets on the outside of him for the first try. He just... Yeah. And, I mean, a lot of it is to do with Harlequins having more numbers, and he has to sort of stay for the dummy runner or the decoy runner.
Yeah.
But still, he doesn't shift out quick enough.
He doesn't bounce out quick, did he?
And you can tell when a player's not going to get the ball, and Jamie Roberts puts it behind this decoy to Morris. But Morris looks good. He looks like Chisholm, really, at 15.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Same sort of...
Hard to shake off like Chisholm.
Quite. I don't know if you can say that. Just keep it in there.
Chisholm is hard to shake off, yeah.
Gets everywhere. But he gets on the outside of him, and a good finish by a loafer.
Yeah.
But
do you know what he has for breakfast?
Bread?
Yeah.
Matt Tamura at 10 as well. Not a natural 10.
No, but he was so good.
He was.
He was head and shoulders man of the match. Really, really good.
You know, 10 score a lot of tries, don't they? Just by taking the ball off the base of rucks and just straightening.
Yeah.
They just show the ball inside.
Yeah.
That holds the guard. There's miscommunication on the outside. It's not just running straight. You have to sort of, you have to show the ball inside to hold players. You have to have dummy runners as well, so or actual runners on the inside. He does that so well and just leaves them. And defenders just get stuck, plant their feet, stuck in the sand.
Just takes a millisecond. Holes open up. South gets stuck. Goes
seen
through.
Farrell do it so many times. Seen Toby Flood do it. Lovely try. An important try for him as well, though.
But you look at those defensive errors. That's just defensive error. Defensive error, and then you see that Marchant thing. I think it was Marchant. I hope not. I'm fairly labouring, jumping out and leaving a hole for Manu. And a couple of phases later, Carl Sinclair jumps out to make the big hit, and Greg Bateman goes straight through on a really good run. He's a really good player, Greg Bateman.
Yeah, but he seems to save his best runs for Quinns, doesn't he? Remember when he went around the outside of Mike Brown?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, but he's a proper player, proper player. So Leicester have signed, as we said earlier, Mark Bakewell, forwards coach, and that is
created the tart.
Just I feel like you wait and see. I mean, he's a special guy, and I must declare a bit of an interest because he's a very close friend of mine. But if I spoke to him, you know, before he got the job and since he got the job at Leicester, and I said, you know, I do love you, mate, but the rules are if you are rubbish, I will say so. And he's like, yeah, I know that, so it's fine.
You won't say rubbish, will you?
No, I'll make it someone else's fault. I'll blame someone else. No, but you've got to tell the truth. But he is a very, very good coach, and I think he's only just got to grips with the team this week. But I think he's, by the sounds of what a couple of Leicester lads have said, I think he's already having an impact. He's a hell of a guy.
Yeah. So,
Matt, if I was running a rugby club, he's the guy I would sign.
Okay.
There you go.
Are you going to?
No. He also wears bandanas.
Why can't we do something like the Man United boys did? Why can't we go to a rugby club and try and turn it around?
We've only got £37.50 between us.
Yeah, but, you know, we'll get a TV broadcaster to pay.
Yeah, right.
For it.
Yeah, but then you've got to go there.
We can pick our team.
Yeah, but you've got to go and do the stuff.
That's okay. We can pay for it. I mean, give it back to grassroots is what I meant.
Sorry. So, what's the... Yeah. I got asked a couple of years ago to go and have a chat with not a big Premiership club, but a big local club who, we'd quite like you to be sort of a DOR type figurehead.
Bruffin on Avon, Bathford.
No, and I never actually went down there. I couldn't meet the guy.
Chippenham,
but it was one of those things that was like, I actually don't want to do that. I'm actually not interested in
Winnersh.
Yeah,
Yateley,
Hungerford, no,
Didcot. So, okay,
no.
Sorry.
So it was like, I just don't really fancy that. But also, I work weekends like you do, so it's kind of, can't actually do it, and I'll never actually be there, so it wouldn't be very useful. But, yeah, it's funny. People ask, I'm sure they ask you a bit, and they ask me a bit a lot, ask ex-pros a lot, do you not fancy coaching?
Yeah, I do. I get loads, mate, but just from, like, for under nines or under tens.
Yeah, yeah. What other games are we talking about here, Tommy?
Sale Saracens, Liam Williams back.
Yeah, scored a nice try.
Did. I get, but too easy.
Way too easy. Marlon Yard players he ends up that. Marlon Yard overruns that, but there's no one inside him either. You'd know better than me. I've said this already on the telly, so I hope I'm not wrong. Well, Marlon Yard should do better. He overruns it, but there's still no one, big hole there.
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot with wingers because you're too worried about the outside, so you've got to cover the outside
as well.
You don't
want to get skinned.
No, you don't. So often, players will step back in, wingers will step back in, but that's when, you know, the outside centre or the defender on the inside of the winger, that's when he hammers him. But yeah, they all overchase really because Liam Williams is in the outside channel. And he just, yeah, a nice try by Liam. Yeah. He looks really good with headband on as well, doesn't he? With his head taped up, with his ears hanging out.
Durda's called him an overworked cowboy because of his look as he's bow-legged.
Yeah, he also looks a little bit like Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, only one try in that game. Sale only scored 3 points.
Isn't he just taken on a role of executive chairman of the Overachievers Club as well?
Yeah.
Say no more.
Yeah.
Well played, that man.
Yeah, well done. Three cheers.
Well bloody done you.
Northampton beat London Irish. No shock there, really.
No, but Lewington got off to a nice start. Error from Northampton, and then he sort of seized on that. But then George North was a bit slow back for Lewington's second try, and Lewington's so sharp that he sort of ripped through and got London Irish off to a really
nice start.
I know,
a bit of a mixed bag by George. A couple of mistakes, but then you look at how he gets himself back into the game. Now, I think it's... who's the 10 for Northampton now?
Piers Francis,
who misses one in front of the post, by the way.
Yeah.
Shocker. He gets a penalty, and George North is there on the right wing. He's playing on the right wing, he's 14. Catches a kickoff. Three or four phases later, he's down the left wing, scoring a try.
Yeah.
So he gets himself right back in. So the work rate to work from one wing to the other, because a lot of wingers will just end up staying on the wing. They'll catch the ball there. He'll get up off the floor. He'll think, right, where do I need to be? Oh, I should probably stay here just in case the ball comes. Or you've got good instincts and you end up following the ball, which he's done. But it, Burrell goes through. And it's just the
worst. That's the easiest outside break ever, by the way.
It's the worst attempted tackle by Luke McLean on him.
Absolutely pied in, didn't
he? He's like sitting on the toilet and he just gets rocked back. He just blows at him like that.
Yeah.
Luke McLean falls over. Boo.
Falls over.
And North finishes. So not too many surprises for Northampton.
No, I thought Luther Burrell looked like he played well. He's so important to them when he's on form.
He is. And I agree with Lewington, so good for London Irish.
Yeah, good signing.
Someone will sign him.
Sarri's have signed him.
Have they?
Yeah, good signing that. So
I knew that. I just wasn't sure whether we were allowed to release it.
Oh, right, yeah, we can now. So Alan Gaffney at Saints has said it's top six minimum for Saints. I must say that feels a bit punchy to me.
Yeah.
They're good enough. Very punchy. But they're not consistently good enough.
No, they're not. They're not. Just when you think they've turned a corner and they found a bit of form.
They go back around the corner.
What I did like, though, I'm not sure if it was on TV, it might have been on like Facebook Live, was Jim Mallander. And they were asking him about Harry. What his best position is. And Jim said, well, I think his best position's 15. He's not quite as good as his old man. But
I haven't seen that.
It was class. Also, what was really funny was Martin Bayfield was talking to Di Young about Jack Willis.
Yeah.
Last week, I think it was.
Yeah.
Now, he gets injured at the weekend, so hopefully his shoulder's all right. But he was saying, Jack Willis, he's the type of player that everything seems natural to him. He just seems really good over the ball, really strong, like he's not coached at all. And Di Young goes, oh, thanks very much.
I saw that, yeah. Thanks for that, mate.
Yeah.
Apparently his brother's just as good.
Really?
Coming through, yeah.
But they've blooded him, really, in the Anglo-Welsh. And he's had some really good games in there. I think most weeks we're talking about how good he is, how many turnovers he has, how many big ball carries
he has. He's had three or four or five like clear man of the match before.
He's had a bad shoulder, hasn't he?
But he's hurt his shoulder now.
Yeah.
And it did look very painful.
Bit like Groves at the weekend as well, against Eubanks.
You watched it?
Why do they say Eubanks?
Pundits call him Eubanks.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Yeah, I watched it.
You know, remember I called the David Hay Achilles thing? As soon as his shoulder went, I was like, bang, on Twitter, done his shoulder. No replies. No, not that I'm looking, no, like, and people are like, ignore
what,
that.
What, he dislocated it?
Yeah, and like 4 or 5 minutes later, everyone's like,
well, there's
definitely done his shoulder.
There's different dislocations, right? Because
I think he's done his shoulder, basically.
I've dislocated mine, I couldn't move. It was like popped out the socket. The doctor had to come on and put it back in. I didn't make a noise. a lot of players yell and scream.
Squealers.
Yeah, not me, mate. Tough. But
Teak tough.
Something didn't look right, did it? But, like, yeah, there's a lot of hype about Eubank and Chris Eubank.
There's only hype from his dad and him.
No, there was loads of hype by the media as well. But Chris Eubank Sr. was saying that he thinks he might have built him too well. He might have built his son too well. If you can, yeah. Can he be built too well?
But he also said that his son will be better than Floyd Mayweather.
It took a while to get going, though, didn't he?
Well, he did, yeah.
It turned into a bit of a slogfest towards the end. He was just throwing haymakers left, right and centre. But
well, he's chucking bombs at a one-armed man in the end who's already won the fight.
But he cut his head as well, his eye, didn't he? That early doors.
Tough cut, that.
It looked a big,
I must
deep
say, the
cut
man apparently is the best in the business. I don't know, but he didn't look great, that cut care.
He looked like he was shaking a bit when he was trying to...
shaking and then doing all that stuff, the adrenaline solution and the Vaz and whatever it was, and then just rubbing it with a towel, like a rough towel. It's like, that's not going to...
But you could sort of see that probably Eubanks Jr. was a better puncher.
Eubanks, you're doing it.
Yeah. Was a better puncher and a better slogger, but Grove just looked better boxer than he.
I think Grove, boxing Grove has pure more power as form. Well. Like Chris Eubank Jr. is not a massive puncher. From what I've seen, and I've seen a few of his, I'm not an expert, but he doesn't look like he's an absolute knockout merchant.
I don't know. Some big punches were thrown, but the amount of energy he's exerted, they didn't hit, really.
Grove's never looked like he was going anywhere, did he? Like, he never looked hurt. He got, well, a couple of them might have given him seen stars, but he was never going over.
No.
And he landed a few Eubank, but... It's just I just find the whole setup, those two guys, so, just excruciating.
Who would win out of Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua?
Oh, Tommy.
See, I think Fury. I think he's a better boxer.
Tommy.
His technique. Oh.
I reckon AJ are taking one way ticket to Sleepsville, Tennessee.
You reckon?
Sleep Town.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Once my boy AJ hits you, mate, you stay hit forever.
Yeah, that'd be a big fight though, wouldn't it, if that ever happens.
I'd pay my $16.95 for that.
It'd be more than that, mate.
I'd pay whatever they want for that.
You're probably talking $29.95.
I'd pay whatever for that.
But you couldn't even get it on Sky, could you? I had to log in on the computer to do it on ITV.
Last night?
Yeah.
Mine ended up working. Someone sent me a link and I did it and got it on the telly. Watched it with my dad.
I was really tired as well, but...
I stayed up afterwards for Prince Nasim Hamed's punditry, which was quite the experience. What camera do I have to look in to tell Eubank to retire?
He's looked after himself, though, hasn't he?
His head went during that punditry, but it was great to watch. It was great. I wanted to be involved in every sport going.
I know.
He's telling Eubank Jr. to retire. He's finished. He's done. He's not good enough. Let's not dance around it, Duke, to Duke McKenzie. Let's not dance around it. He's not good enough. You're either good enough or you're not, and he's not. So
how old was he? 27, 28?
Who? Chris Eubank Jr.?
Yeah.
Don't know, actually.
Think so.
Yeah. I just never... Not that it matters and not that he cares what I think, but I never get the impression, you know, that's a good bloke, that is. Do you know what I mean?
Of who? Eubank?
Yeah. I just be nice to people? I don't know.
I'm a little maybe bit I'm different to you, mate. I speak as I find more than you.
I've got a friend who knows Chris Eubank Jr. and says he's really nice. But so I could be wrong. Not telling you in case. But I promise you I've got one.
It's female.
No, it's a male. It's a male human.
Okay.
But yeah, it was an interesting fight, but it was only ever one winner after about four rounds. It was just done, really.
What I did think was naughty was the announcer's dreadlocks.
I know. Naughty malorty. Proper naughty, weren't they?
Yeah.
Absolutely rascal dreads.
It's Josh Navidi naughty.
Absolutely rascal dreads. So the Wasp game today against Chiefs.
Yeah.
Injuries. Injuries, injuries, injuries. The game wasn't great. Chiefs weren't as accurate as they normally are. They weren't great last week. They were better this week, but not quite there. Dropping balls you wouldn't expect them to drop. Put under pressure by Wasp defence, but Cipriani looks hurt. Not awful, but hurt. Jack Willis looks in a lot of pain with his shoulder. But Alex Reader... Oh, and I think Marcus Watson went off as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He just gets chopped down, right down low. He's running back on himself.
It's Cowan Dickey that gets him, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, Cowan Dickey is just super.
There's some brutal hits on that.
Yeah, Cowan Dickey is just
Robson
super.
Gets a knee right in his knee as well. That's a killer.
It's an accidental great hit, that was. Did you see it? He didn't even blindsided him.
I think he was offside anyway. comes off the line too quick.
Good hit though, isn't it?
Yeah.
But Alex Reed had just back from a long injury with a shoulder, dislocated shoulder. I think he's really, really hurt himself. Stretched off in a brace as well, gas and air. There was a bit of chat in the tunnel that he had dislocated his knee.
Mm.
And someone said he might have dislocated his ankle as well, but I think that is, I think that might not be the case. Just horrible because Partey's a really good player and it's horrible for him is the main thing. But he's just back and
yeah,
very, very sad. We're all sitting in the stands like, and everyone was like, because people get hurt and you're kind of used to it. And
stands, you're in the media room, mate, watching the game.
In the media room watching the game, and we were just like, poor bloke. It was proper morbid watching that.
You don't want to see that to anyone, really, do you?
No.
Unless it's Chris Eubank Jr.
Tommy.
Joking. You're the one that hates him. I don't hate him.
I just never, he's never come across as a great guy. Hmm. He's not AJ, is he? He ain't Josh.
He's not Apollo Creed, is he?
He's not Apollo Creed. He ain't no Creed.
No. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were reaching across to pause it, but you're pressing, having a glug. Do you want a drink, are you?
Yeah.
Take your time.
Thanks.
We can stop the pod whenever. Do a little break.
Yeah, should we have
Tom's
one now?
Had a drink now. There you go.
Just before we have a bet, probably should mention a good win by the Cardiff Blues against Munster.
Really good win, that.
Yeah. Dug in well there. Jared Evans kicks a couple of good penalties right at the end just to keep them in front. So they've done good. Owen Lane looks good on the wing. God, he's fast, mate.
He's rapid, eh?
He's fast. So bet the week. I'm going to bet on Harlequins Newcastle this Saturday.
I'm staying away from it.
Yeah, you better add, mate. Half two kickoff. And I'm going to say Harlequins by 5 points.
Okay. I'm saying nothing, okay?
You're correct. Please.
I'm cursed at the moment.
We should do more of these bet the weeks. Should be like five in the podcast.
I know.
All proceeds go to children in need. And make sure you're over 18. Terms and conditions do apply. Got to say that.
Well done, Tom.
You better be quick, mate. Now, I always like to finish with some questions.
Well, my phone's not working, so...
Sort it out, mate. Pay your bills.
Got no credit, bro.
Dave Davis has emailed us, and he says he can't believe Flats left his dog out of his house for a week. It wasn't a week. It was a couple of minutes, and then the dog ran off, and he found it the next day.
Yeah, it's true.
So have that. We've got a question from Sean on Twitter. Not even a question. He's just said, stick to your guns, Flats. Shanks talked you into a Bath win by 3. Who is the Premiership commentator? Don't think I talked you into it, but
no.
You need to sort your betting out, mate.
I know. I'm not a gambler, though. I'm not very good at it.
There's a question from Daniel on email. Okay, Daniel Chamer. Lads, he likes a podcast. Here's one for you. My eldest son is 11, plays for Battersea Ironsides. They play him on the wing, although he prefers centre. He's not small, but he's not big either. Personally, I think he could be a great scrum half, but he doesn't get to play there. I train him at 9 a bit, but is it too late to start playing there full time, say at 13? Realistically, he might have to drop down a level to play there now. I don't really know what you're trying to say, mate. But
if he's this question section's going really well.
If he's 11 years old, just get him to play anywhere, and you'll find that when his body develops, he will develop into a position, because you don't know how some kids develop faster than others. The position will find him.
Just let him leg it around with his mates. Because it doesn't matter where he plays.
Not everyone's fast. Not everyone is big and strong at that age. Just play all positions. Develop all the skills.
Not everyone's like fast and big and strong and talented. No, and if they are, they end up getting 70 caps.
It's just making sure you coach them just to be able to pass comfortably off both hands. Always work on the things you're not good at that age. But make sure he enjoys it, okay?
So yeah, it's fun. That's all it is.
Don't get the whip out. Got anything for me on Twitter yet, mate?
I told you, I'm on the hotel Wi-Fi, but it's not working, so no, nothing will reload, so I can't do it. Sorry.
Okay. Matt Dunn on Twitter. Who is the best scrummager you've played against, Dave?
Ooh, yeah. Julian White, Cobus Fasagi. One of those two. There you go.
Why? Just good and big.
Julian was very strong, very aggressive, really flexible. He just had the brute, this amazing strength, really nice technique, and just unbelievably aggressive, like just really, really aggressive. Cobus was, again, incredibly strong and just really, really accurate, consistent, accurate, really lovely technique.
So when you get strong and technique, look
brutal.
Out.
Yeah.
Jeremy Palliser on Twitter has just put Quinn's new coach needed.
Is that a question?
Well, he's not put a question mark. I don't know if he's making a statement. I've asked for a question, mate, so... If you can get your grammar right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think something needs to change a little bit at Quinn's personally, because it's not, they're not firing at the moment.
If Bristol get promoted, will they this time survive in the Prem?
I mean,
Philip Morris.
I'm inclined to think not, actually.
So difficult for teams coming up, isn't it?
Yeah,
but they've signed pretty well. They don't forget they've got Charles Pietau. Next year, they've got Madigan.
You don't stay in the league because of fullbacks, Tom.
Front five, isn't it?
Front five, boy. You know, and they've got, I think Jan Thomas is going, they've signed a couple of really good hookers. They've got John Arfoa. You know, I think they need to go heavy duty on their front five, really heavy duty, and they need a couple of them in each position. That's where they need to spend the money. You know, if they're, you know, this is just stuff I've read. I mean, these could be completely made up numbers, but you got Pietau on 950 grand a year or something at the back. You've got Madigan on $500,000. You've got Steve Luatua on 750 or whatever these guys. They're massive numbers. You need to be paying some proper money to the guys that secure you ball and parity on the field. You know, like it's no coincidence that the teams that do well in English in the Premiership have always really, really decent front fives, and they have them in reserve. So that's, for me, that's not the only place you need to spend money, but you need to spend money there.
I read a really interesting piece on players' salaries. It was Hannah Bow, who's Tommy Bow's sister, works for a company called Esportif, and she works in the intelligence division. They compile all this data they give all this data to directors of rugby and to the board. With players coming out, what the average wage is, and the top players, the top players in your team, their salaries are pretty consistent in the Pro 14 and the Aviva Prem. It's just that gap then for your average club player,
yeah,
which is the one that's getting really affected,
yeah,
because it's just a huge difference between
just less left for them,
the top and the bottom. Yeah, so I suppose what they're trying to do is research the trends that are happening in rugby and present them impartially to different rugby clubs.
DORs and chairman and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. It's a good article.
It does seem, I could be wrong, but recruitment in pro rugby does seem to be really kind of haphazard and opportunist and not very brilliantly put together.
Because I know France are trying to lower the amount of foreigners playing, you know, at some stage. I think their ultimate goal is to have 5 foreign players in their match day 23,
which is a lot more than you're allowed currently in England. So it's kind of, you know,
yeah, but it, you know, it's crazy over there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
JP Swain says, has any opposing player coach ever said anything to you before a game? Through the press or just in person, that actually affected you?
No,
I'm trying to think. The only thing for me was when Gatland said he didn't rate me on your 50th cap. Get on the bus, boys.
That's it.
Yeah.
Never rated you, Shanks. Anyway, but, congratulations.
Yeah, but you all know I scored, so it was fine.
Yeah, no, not really. I don't think I was ever good enough to warrant a mention, to be honest, by opposition coaches leading into a game.
We get a lot of questions about the live podcast that's happening in the Cabbage Patch with Lawrence Lalio. We will let you know on Twitter when the website comes out, so you can book your tickets. Book quick, though.
There's only 8,000 spots.
Yeah.
So that'd be good fun with Low, actually. Big Low.
Yeah, just back on the boxing, were you a little bit disgusted with the ring girls? You know,
it's an interesting one, that. I absolutely see the point of view that, why are you stopping people working? why are you making the decision for them?
They weren't wearing bikinis. They were.
I just think they just think they look completely bloody ridiculous. I think they look completely. That's just my opinion. They're very pretty and well turned out, but they look ridiculous. They're just standing there.
Same about darts.
I find for a long time I like girls, right? But for a long time, I found like UFC having ring girls still. Like UFC is one of the most progressive sporting environments in the world. They have female-led main events, you know, and they've got ring girls. I'm like, what are you doing? And, okay, these girls are gainfully employed. They love their jobs, potentially, that sort of stuff. And I get that argument completely. It's just my view is that I find it really, really odd.
So Formula One.
Yeah, I just find it bizarre. You're parading, like, you know, I love cars, and you look at these car shows, and loads of these cars that are getting launched are launched with these gorgeous women, like, draped on these cars. Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You just put a gorgeous woman next to your car. It's bizarre. And
yeah,
it's not,
but it's, they put a gorgeous woman next to a car because they think it's a thing of beauty, the car. So they put what men perceive to be a thing of beauty in a woman next to it. So.
Yeah, because men are buying these cars more than women, whatever the car is. So I get why they do it. I have, for someone who definitely likes attractive women, I find it really, really bizarre.
Well, it doesn't affect me, bother me whatsoever.
You've got no emotions, though, so that's a bit different.
I think if they want to work, they're not getting exploited. They're just good-looking women. And if you want to do what's probably a fairly easy job of standing there looking pretty and get paid for it,
yeah, but do you not
do it.
Do you not find it odd that you are literally put up there as an animate object? Do you not find that weird? I just find that weird. Why do we do that? Why do we stick pretty women on a stage and tell them to stand still and say nothing? I just find it bizarre.
Because the majority of what we're talking about are mostly watched by men.
Who like pretty women, yeah. I know, I kind of. I do get it. I find it just grim, to be honest.
Well, but
I'm a much nicer bloke than you, and I'm more progressive, and I'm just trying to get the progressives to like me.
Speak to JB on it. He has strong opinions.
Don't get me started on JB, Egg Chasers JB. He's got ODD, Oppositional Defiance Disorder. His head's gone anyway.
Oh, one of them, is he?
His head's gone. He argues everything.
Oh, so left wing or right wing.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah. No, he knows loads about politics. Don't say that stuff because whatever you say.
He's right wing.
Whatever you say, he'll disagree
with.
He's
so right wing.
And what happens is he'll hear this and then he'll go online and he'll disagree with it and prove our point.
He's probably got Google alerts up for his name, JB.
Yeah, he's got bots out, JB has. That's what he's like, mate. Mm. He's a psycho. He's an absolute psycho. And he'll come on here and he'll say he's not and that'll prove our point.
Goodbye.
Bye.